Mr. Parsons, reel 8.
What about football matches between the two games and sports?
No, your football matches were amongst ships' companies, you see. Now, say you're at sea, they would have the, we were talking about hakas, you know. Well, now, that was a ship's company game. The officers would do acrostics and that sort of thing by signal, you see. But that was officers the whole time. Their amusements are quite separate.
And even the thing like calling ship when everybody was dirty and grubby, the officers were still...
They were still officers.
Still in charge.
Yeah, yes, that's right. Oh, yes, definitely.
And when they did participate like that in, say, a concert party and they put on the funny faces, immediately the concert was over.
Oh, back you went to zero again. Mm.
In relations with the other officers in your own time, you were talking about the Dartmouth men, how they adjusted to yourself, for instance. I mean, there was no problem here with that sort of chap.
No.
You've gone all right, you had things to talk about, or...
Oh, yes.
Were you always comfortable with them in that?
I was always comfortable. You occasionally got the stiff neck, you know, but there were not many of them.
Remember you telling me about the commander in one of your early ships who took you aside, and at your first ship as an officer, he took you aside and said to you, well, what did he say?
When was that?
I think soon after you joined a ship as a warrant officer, commissioned officer.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, he... I was off the day. And he came across, took his cap off and pointed to it. He said, look at the... I'm the captain. He said, I expect you to treat me as such. He said, all the time I'm wearing that cap, I'm your captain. And he, all right, so I understand. And he went to go below and he got down the hatch. And it was his head showing. He took his cap off. He called me down. He said, I haven't got my cap on now. He said, I'm not the captain, I'm one of the boys. He said, that's what it is. On deck, I'm your captain. Down below, I'm your messmate. And at dinner that night, he... coffee had passed, port had gone round, and he said to the steward, lock the wardroom door. The steward locked it. He said, close the trap hatch. Close that. And he said, well, now, gentlemen, he said, this is our first night on board. He said, I want it to be like this. He said, I'm keeping that wardroom door closed, locked. He said, until I know that everything's all right. He said, I don't want anyone sliding off to their cabins to write letters. He said, we're a happy family here, and we're going to be. He said, we've got to help one another, and we're all boys and girls together. He said, Chief, that was the engineer, senior man, he said, Chief and I, and number one, we're the mouldy old buggers. Pardon my French. And he said, look, gun, sub, number two. Bloody young sods. And he said, now we'll have a game of whatever it was. He said, the MOBs will play the PYSs. And that's how we went right through the commission. And by Joe, he was good. He was loved by the ship's company, loved by anybody. But by Joe, he had a smart ship.
Because everybody followed him.
Yes, that's right, yes.
And he took pains. Was this unusual to take so much pains to...
Yes, it was unusual. Yes. Yes, he was an outstanding character. And it was relieved decks, 8:30, you see. Your relief would come up, and he always he would always turn over the watch and say, belt, no belt. Well, the old man, if we were at anchor, he always got out of bed in the morning, straight over the side for a dip, you see. And if he'd had a bad night, you knew he'd come straight up on deck in his bathing bench, you see, go straight over to the ship's bell and put his head on it to cool the head off. If he did that, you had to stand from under, you see. If he didn't do that, went straight over the side, everything was all right for the day.
And the men that got to know this man as being like that too?
Yes, oh yes, they did.
And everybody, you know, all the officers, none felt that because they weren't used to this, they didn't like it.
Oh no.
No?
Oh no, no, no.
They all accepted this was his way. And
yes, yes. Oh yes, you've got to accept your new captain as he is. It's no good kicking against the bricks, you see.
None of the other younger officers felt that he wasn't being what they expected him to be.
No, no. No, he was a captain. He carried out his job as a captain, but he carried it out in his own way, you see.
And was he a good seaman?
Oh yes, rather, he was.
Would that have mattered quite a lot, whether he was a good...
Oh yes, yes. Particularly in smaller vessels. Well, you've got to know your job. My gosh, you have. Otherwise, you... Well, anything could happen.
And in the other aspect of officers' relations, I mean, there's relations with the men. You were formerly one of the men, and here you were now inspecting them and punishing them and giving them
orders. Yes.
How does that relationship change?
It didn't change, really. It didn't change.
No?
No. Strangely enough, it seemed to follow on in quite an ordinary way.
In a way, you know more about them than they would like you to know.
Yes.
As an officer.
Yes.
Did this not lead to them treating you with a certain... amount of distance, because you could obviously, you knew all the tricks.
Well, it may have been at the to begin with, but they soon found you out, you know.
Found you out?
They found you out, whether you were all right or the other way.
Reactions to it. I mean, you said you weren't too bothered.
What about the war?
About the war.
No, it didn't seem to affect anyone. That was my experience. Of course, we didn't know what it really meant. We'd fired guns and torpedoes and that sort of thing, but only in a friendly way. I don't think anyone knows anything about war until they actually come into it, you see.
Yes, the word you used for me was a break in routine.
Yeah, oh yes, definitely. Yes, it was a break in routine.
What do you mean exactly in that sense, a break in routine? I mean, obviously it's a break.
Yes.
There's a lot of routine.
Well, routine was falling in every morning, being detailed for jobs, doing the same old thing over and over and over. Then as soon as the war was declared, what did we do? We had to prepare for battle. They'd been chucking everything over the side, inflammable, getting guns ready and so on. The watchkeeping became entirely different. You had to organise for watchkeeping, for guns and torpedoes and so on. And your life was entirely different. The old routine was gone.
Much of the spit and polish and the rather tiresome.
Oh yes, well there you painted over all the bright work. You see, so that was one job that you were very thankful to get rid of. Your food feeding arrangements were different, of course.
How were they different?
Well, they were running you. People on watch, they had to have their food after this watch had finished and so on, you see. Like a running buffet, you see.
And much more time, I think you spent, said, was spent on training now, on proper training.
Oh, yes.
Not just repetition, but retraining or training men who would come in as HO.
Yes.
Ratings. What sort of form did this take in your own experience with the torpedo men? What sort of work? How did this change your work routines and work situations?
Well, your routines were much the same. It was all a question of care and maintenance. You see, so that carried on just as it was, but everything had to be prepared for action, you see. Yeah, and normally you would have torpedoes, we'll say. They were just kept there, and you run them occasionally for exercise, but when the war started, you had to fit them with their warheads and pistols, you see, and ready for a moment's notice for firing.
And in regard to the incoming people, the HO ratings,
yes,
and RNBR types,
mm,
the Navy, you said, took to them quite well on the whole.
The yes, they did. Oh, yes. They did. But then that was a question of extra training, you see. Passing on some of your knowledge to some greenhorn, you see. But they fitted in very well, the HOs, you know.
You can remember any particular instance, or in general, this is the...
No, in general, that is, you know.
Did they leave any impact? Did they leave any impression when they left at the end of the war? Did they have any influence on conditions and things?
No, not on conditions. There's only one thing that I would point out is when these RNVRs came to see... There was rather jealousy, particularly with the warrant officers. They felt that these chaps who were Saturday afternoon sailors come straight to sea with a commission and enjoy all the fruits of a commission, you see. But keeping those chaps, they were thinking to themselves, well, why couldn't we be promoted?
Did this lead to any kind of resentment or resentment occasionally?
No, it didn't. I think the way jobs were allocated, it catered for that.
Yeah. And there was no occasions when, you know, rivalry or sort of wardroom...
Oh, no.
...joking about, gosh, I mean, I could be doing your job.
Oh, sure, no, they were accepted very well, the RNVR chaps, you know.
People like yourself, though, who were, or you were later, actually, weren't you? But, there were people there who had jumped ahead of others.
Yes, yes.
POs, for example, who were, as you say, weekend sailors, were being given responsible posts.
And, yes.
You reckon they coped?
Yes, oh yes, yes.
Pretty well.
Yes.
Tell me, if you can, in as much detail about the... You're at Jutland.
Mm-hmm.
And you were in a destroyer. Tell me as much as you can about that incident on board when you were escorting escorting destroyer, the flotilla. What your experiences were there, because they're quite interesting.
Well, you know, in a way, it almost became watching a film. If you understand what I mean. So much was going on that you didn't get time to think of yourself or anything. You probably see a ship being shelled over there. You say, poor devils. At the same moment, you get a couple of bricks alongside you, you see. But before you could think about those, something else was happening over there. There was so much going on. And you not knowing the general strategy, you felt how small you were, you see. But there was You took it quite easily. There was no fear or anything like that, you know. I saw no one
to
be scared.
You said that you could see a ship sinking or a ship getting a direct hit.
Yeah.
You just thought it could be you. The sense of power and collapse and destruction, this didn't strike you at all as
no.
frightening?
No, it didn't, oddly enough. A moment of sympathy, perhaps. But then there was so much going on that you hadn't time to sympathise, even.
One of the things that...